You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome one and all to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, coming to you from Memphis, Tennessee this evening. It is Saturday, July the 19th, and if I do say so myself, folks, I believe that tonight's episode will be one of the most memorable of the year. We are going to have the incomparable Sam Dixon on the show, and if all goes according to plan, and this is a last-minute audible to the plan that was in place as of maybe even noon today, Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be out tonight. He is sick. We might have Sam Bushman on the third hour as well. So Sam Dixon, Sam Bushman, and we're going to have a guest this first hour that has been making national news, has been on with Sean Hannity. He's been on with Glenn Beck this week. He's been everywhere, Fox, all over the Kelly, I believe, the good-looking hostess there at Fox that took Sean Hannity's prime slot. He's been on with her, too. Not going to give you his name yet, but he'll be coming up in about 30 minutes, and it's a story that is directly located in our wheelhouse, and thanks goes to Peter Scoop Stanton for getting this guest booked for the Political Cesspool this evening. All that and more coming tonight, folks. So it's hour after hour after hour. In each of the 3 hours tonight, we are going to have incredible guests bringing you incredible news, the likes of which you will find no other place than the Political Cesspool. Again, I'm James Edwards. It's great to be here. I mentioned Sam Dixon. We really have a provocative topic for the second hour that we will be covering extensively. He is scheduled to be our guest for the entire 3 hours. And I always hesitate to tell you how each of the 3 hours will shape up at the beginning of the show, because it is live radio, things happen. But if all goes according to plan, Sam Dixon will be on to examine with us how the world has changed over the course of the past century and share with us his vision of what the world will look like 100 years from now if current trends persist. Again, folks, I think that this is guaranteed to be one of the best episodes of the year. And I've got to get to something here right out of the gates this evening that was just really moving to me. Just a couple of fan letters that we got in, if I can be so bold as to call them that. Correspondence from listeners perhaps might be a little less self-indulgent, but we got one from Olympia, Washington. A listener up in Olympia, Washington writes, "Listened to last Saturday's program 3 times while working in the backyard. Yard work goes much more smoothly with Political Cesspool playing in the background." And he says he listened closely as it was described how to best go about the regathering of what is left of our nation. And he recommends, this listener, that our members of our extended family migrate to the northwestern areas of the United States, of this continent, where there are world-class deep water ports, vast land for growing all the food we'd ever need, and abundant water. He says that we must protect our children from the filth that is here and the worst that is still to come. And I agree with Dave, who sent in that comment. He writes in closing that he thanks us for all of the great shows. Our hard work is appreciated. Well, certainly, Dave, without the listeners like you, all the way up here in Olympia, Washington, even, we certainly wouldn't be here to be able to continue our calling. And I appreciate the kind words and the thought-provoking comments there from Washington State. But, you know, we talk about it often, folks, and I always get a kick. We've been doing this a decade now, or will be a decade this October. And when I read the different locations across the country, indeed, we have listeners all over the United States. Every city, small towns and villages to the major metropolises, coast to coast, from Maine to Southern California, obviously up there in Olympia, down to South Florida. The width and the length of the United States, there are political cesspool listeners everywhere, certainly across Europe as well. I'm getting an email not long ago from a listener in Berlin who mentioned that he downloads our shows via the archives. and puts them in his car and listens to them as he drives on the Autobahn. So they're in Europe as well, in Canada, certainly, Australia. We have political successful listeners all around the globe, and including places where you wouldn't think we might. I mean, certainly wherever people of European descent live, we have fans. I remember last year getting an email from a listener who says he never misses a show, and he was living in the country of Panama. Now, not Panama City Beach, Florida, but Panama, as in South America. But I got a letter this week, and then with this I will start the show in terms of its content. But this is something that I think we can all take pride in, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly I do. Letter came in this week from Sri Lanka. It reads, "Dear James and Cesspool staff, I'm one of your biggest fans, writing from Sri Lanka. I've been listening to your program for over 6 years now." So a listener there for 6 years, first time to write, and we know there are so many people out there that we've never heard from before. But he continues, "You may be surprised to find that a lot of non-whites listen to your program. I'm one of them, and I'm sure that there are thousands of us listening to the political cesspool all over the world. I've been interested in race-related matters ever since my early 20s. I used to hate Europeans, but I don't have any such feelings now. Years of reading on the subject and debating about it on the internet has made it quite clear that the race issue is facing this world is not as black and white as I thought it to be. Can I suggest creating a YouTube channel and have at least one program a month where you and the rest of the staff interview somebody or maybe do a short documentary on YouTube? Please accept my contribution to the political cesspool. It is very difficult to send money overseas from my country, so I have no choice but to buy United States dollars from a private money changer. I hope that what you receive is not fake currency." And I can assure you, my friend, it was not. "Please keep up the good work." And he signs his name. And to this listener in Sri Lanka, thank you. As I thank everyone, I certainly want to thank you for taking the time to write that letter, and to make a financial contribution was certainly above and beyond, and we will put it all to good use and be good stewards of yours and everyone else's financial sacrifice. But I want to let you know, if you're listening tonight, that I'm going to send you an autographed copy of my book, Racism, Smacism, and a couple of other items that I think you may enjoy so that you can continue your evolution and your education. But folks, that is the impact that this show has across the white world and across the world in general. Let the truth be told and let people come to the truth. And I value this listener in Sri Lanka as much as anyone, and I'm so thankful that there are open-minded people that have the capacity to use the brain that God gave them to weigh all of the information that's out there and draw their own conclusion about even the most sensitive of issues. And certainly we cover the most taboo of the taboo on this show. It is our calling to talk about matters of racial realities and Jewish power and influence and some of the other things that, that we think that there should be an open debate about, but certainly it is stifled with false accusations of racist and anti-Semite. Anytime you mention any of these things, if not carrying politically correct water to the gods of cultural Marxism, you're going to get shouted down. But, you know, that doesn't bother us. That is a small price to pay compared to the price that will be paid if we don't have open and polite debates on these matters. And so let the political cesspool lead the way to a worldwide audience tonight, folks. I'm going to get into a lot of news this hour right after this.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guy's giant factory authorized sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high quality Mountain House freeze dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best tasting, longest proven shelf life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the giant factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby, Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. James Edwards in the political cesspool. You know, we always like to open the program at the top of our three-hour stand each Saturday night with a few announcements and a sampling of mail that had come in the last few days, and we did time to get to work to everyone who sends in their thoughts and questions and concerns about our program via email, snail mail. However, we read them all. We can't always answer them all, but we do read them all and take every suggestion to heart. And so keep those thoughts coming in. In speaking of thoughts, you know, it's not just thoughts. A lot of times people will email me stories that they think might make for a good topic of discussion, either on our website at thepoliticalcesspool.org or on the show itself. And I received this next story that I'm going to talk about at least a few dozen times from listeners across the world. And I hesitate to even talk about this next story only because, you know, I can talk about the illegal invasion of our country. I can talk about issues dispassionately more times than not, even though I certainly have a passionate opinion on every issue, or at least the issues that we talk about on this show. I can talk about most issues, point in fact, and it doesn't get under my skin, but this next issue is an exception to that. And for that reason, I seriously considered not even mentioning it on the show or posting anything on the blog about it, because it's so offensive and it's so personal that I just don't like to get myself worked up like that. But I've had time to absorb this next story, so I'm going to share it with you. The assault on our cultural heritage continues unabated, except for outlets like this, of course, and there's not many. It's cultural genocide is what it is. Confederate flags were removed from the tomb of Robert E. Lee. Now imagine that, folks. Now, we know that there is an ongoing cultural genocide in this country. They will not rest. They will not sleep. They will not be satisfied until every symbol of the Confederacy is eradicated. And then when they get done with that, and it's already well in motion, they will come after Christianity. And after they eradicate everything that symbolizes Western civilization, they will still be unhappy and full of hate because they are miserable, wretched people. There is no tolerance among these people. Anyway, but to remove a flag from a man's grave, that is truly reprehensible. The president of Washington and Lee University, now keep in mind if you don't know about this, folks, Robert E. Lee has been laid to rest at the Lee Chapel on the campus of Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia. I have been to the Lee Chapel. In fact, Stonewall Jackson is buried just a little while down the road, I mean just a couple of minutes. But this Lee Chapel is this beautiful, beautiful little church chapel, and inside it is the tomb of Robert E. Lee. So now that you know that, understand that it is, but it is on a campus named after George Washington and Robert E. Lee. But the president of Washington and Lee University announced in an email last week that the Confederate flags displayed in the Lee Chapel, which rest above the crypt where Robert E. Lee and his family are buried, will be removed. And then he issued an apology on behalf of Robert E. Lee. I'd like to meet this guy. I swear to God, I'd like to meet this guy and give him a piece of my mind at the very least. A group of 12 black law students back in April who called themselves the committee issued a series of demands because they reportedly felt alienation and discomfort on a campus where blacks are only 3.5% of the student body. Here were their list of demands. So basically these malcontents, these chronic, pathetic malcontents, you know, couldn't even let a man rest in peace. They had to disturb his grave by removing the flag that he fought for, a righteous flag, a Christian flag. That's what the Confederate flag was. I don't know what you think it was. Well, I don't know what you think it is if you're a listener of this show, but, you know, if you're listening for the first time, I don't, you know, your mind might have been poisoned. You might be ignorant enough to believe that this flag stood for this, that, and or the other. That was a righteous flag. Let me tell you something. The founding fathers would have fought for that flag, and many of the descendants of the original founders did. And there is no better American that has ever trod this land than Robert E. Lee. No man of principle ever existed that was superior to Robert E. Lee, save, and I don't want to be blasphemous here, I mean, obviously Jesus Christ, but I mean, he was Christ-like in many ways more than any of his detractors ever will be. But these malcontents demanded that the university fully recognize Martin Luther King Day, obviously. We demand that the university stop allowing people to march with Confederate flags on Robert E. Lee Day. Now, see, in Virginia, they still have a Robert E. Lee Day. He was a Virginian and a true hero. But you can't march for the flag that Lee fought for on Lee Day at his gravesite. No, no, no. We demand that the university immediately remove all Confederate flags, including those located within the Lee Chapel, and that the university issue an official apology for its participation in slavery, including a denunciation of Robert E. Lee. You know, predictably, this petulant list of demands received national publicity. 12 losers at this campus have a problem. I got a problem. Now, this whole nation has a problem with the homosexual agenda. This whole nation has a problem with illegal immigration, but that doesn't receive any play. And if it does receive play, it's how intolerant and stupid, you know, and backwards we are. We're not progressive enough to embrace the takeover of our country or, you know, sodomy, an abominable sin. But this makes national news. 12 blacks who were probably specifically registered at that university enrolled there just so they could complain about Robert E. Lee. See, national media publicity, and not only that, they promised to engage in civil disobedience unless their demands to remove Lee's legacy were not met by September 1st. Of course, it didn't take this. I'm really on the edge of using profanity, and I'm not going to do that, and I've never done that on the air. But, I mean, I'm telling you, this story is one that really sticks in my craw because I had ancestors. I had grandfathers, not my immediate grandfathers, obviously, but a couple of great-greats. Back in the line of Edwards's, died for the Confederate flag. So this means something to me. And you've got these 12 students there saying they are going to commit lawlessness if their demands are not met. And what happens? They are held as heroes. The administration completely caves and removes the flag of Robert E. Lee from his tomb. And, you know, these guys aren't in trouble. They, you know, go downtown and tell
the authorities that you are going to commit crimes unless they cater to your demands and see what happens to you. But these people do it, and how brave they are. But wherever some aspect of Southern heritage is being assaulted and destroyed, please note the striking correlation with the presence of loud, obnoxious, and perpetually aggrieved blacks whining about the legacy of the civil wrongs movement. Just disgusting, completely disgusting, folks. All you can do is all you can do. And I'm doing everything I can to defend the glorious heritage of the South. I encourage you to do it as well. Don't be shy to display that proud and noble symbol of the Confederacy. They fought for everything that was right and everything about the American experiment that our founders had initiated less than 100 years before the war between the states. Those were their ideals. Those were the ideas that were shared by the leaders of the Confederacy, people like Robert E. Lee, who could have had everything. He turned down the chance to be the commander of the Union forces so he could lead his state, Virginia. He said he would never turn his sword on his state. They don't make men like that anymore. That is a man worthy of our praise and adulation. He is a hero, and every man should aspire to be half as good as Robert E. Lee. I salute you, General Lee. I love you. Of everything you stand for, you're better than what your university has become. We'll be back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to tonight's live broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, as we are coming to you from our flagship AM studio here in Memphis, Tennessee this evening. Of course, as always, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network across this great country of ours, and simulcasting online to a global audience, and we were reading fan mail from Sri Lanka today. And it's great to have you back with us. I must say that our intrepid correspondent from the belly of the beast, Washington, D.C., has outdone himself this time. Peter Scoop Stanton, are you with us?
Yes, I am, James.
I want to give you the honors, my friend, of introducing our featured guest for this hour, a man who is certainly paying the price right now for speaking his mind.
Okay, no problem. Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone with us tonight, we have none other than excellent and honest reporter Sean Bergen. Mr. Bergen decided to tell the truth from his news station, News 12 New Jersey, subsequently demoted. Now, James, do you have the YouTube clip ready for Mr. Bergen?
We don't have the YouTube clip ready as of this moment, but we will work on it. I'm sure if anyone's been paying attention to Fox News this week, they may be well aware of this story already. But without further ado, let us welcome Mr. Bergen to the broadcast, and then we will get all the details. Sean, are you with us?
I am indeed, and it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, at the very least we could do, you know, a friend of mine has written that political correctness is a war against noticing, and you noticed some deficiencies that an honest conversation may assist in helping us find a solution to when reporting a story recently, and apparently some of the people with your former company didn't take kindly to that, but by all means, would you tell us the story upon which you were reporting when all of this started?
Okay, as many people across the country may understand or know by now, a young rookie police officer in Jersey City, New Jersey, was executed in cold blood by an ex-convict named Lawrence Campbell, who was wanted on a previous homicide. Now, I went into that neighborhood to report in that neighborhood, and I might add that I was the only reporter who actually went out and worked the neighborhood. Because all the other network affiliates were at the crime scene, and they didn't really want to venture around. I don't know if they didn't want to venture around the 4th District, but I found it surprising that I was the only one who did. It took me about an hour, and I found the brothers and the family of the gunman, Lawrence Campbell, and they weren't ready to talk to me. So I went and saw if I could track down the security guard who had his gun stolen after he was punched twice in the face by Campbell. Campbell pulled his .45 caliber weapon off the security guard, marched outside the drugstore. After he announced the cashier, watch the news tonight, I'm going to be famous for killing a cop. And as Melvin Santiago, a rookie, 23-year-old rookie, 6 months on the job, who volunteered to work in the 4th District, the most violent in Jersey City, and the busiest police precinct in the state of New Jersey, or one of them anyway, Santiago and his partner rode up to the scene to answer a call of a bank robbery, and that's when Campbell opened fire on the car. Those cops never made it out of the vehicle. They were never able to exit the squad car. They were executed, or Santiago was executed. His partner was not hit. Second car rolled up, and three officers ultimately got out of their cars and gunned Campbell down. So I got to speak with the security guard whose gun was stolen, and I also spoke with Campbell's wife. And this really touched off a furor. There was actually an impromptu memorial on the street. And when I went over there at first, you know, they told me to get out of there, that I must be crazy. You know, that they would kill me. And it was a rough crowd, man. That was that thug life down there is real serious. I had my cameraman parked across the street in a park next to a park that was just full of heroin addicts. And I didn't want him coming over because I didn't want to place him at risk. And then as I was leaving, this guy got out of a car. He was obviously the honcho on the block. He had thick gold chains and tattoos right up to his chin, and he got out of the car and he started chewing these people out. And then he waved me back. And I went back and I asked him, I said, are you the shot caller on this block? And he said, yeah. I said, all right, I'll make it quick. And he said, you take all the time you need, my man. You do what you got to do. So I called my photographer over, and as we were shooting this memorial, the shot caller got into a back and forth argument with this woman who identified herself as Campbell's wife. And I said, oh, my God, this could be my second big get of the day as a reporter. You know, I had exclusive sound now that nobody had. You know, I'm just some jamoke from News 12. And this woman went on a tirade that I think most people in the country would find really shocking and disturbing. Basically, she said her husband didn't go nearly far enough in killing enough cops, that he should have killed them all. He should have taken them all out, she said. She expressed no sympathy for the cop or his family. And, you know, I got back to the newsroom. In a previous live shot, I had indicated on the air that there was a possibility we may talk to the family of the gunman. And once law enforcement in New Jersey got wind of that, it really took off. So that by the time I got back to the newsroom around 6:30, all phones were really starting to heat up from law enforcement guys all over the state who were just furious that I would air an interview with the wife of a cop killer. Now, you have to understand the frustration here. When there's a big case going on like this, a big police investigation, the police cannot comment. But that doesn't stop news organizations from going into the neighborhoods, getting this anti-cop sentiment out on the air, and then the anchor will, at the end, say, well, we contacted the police, but they declined to comment, citing the ongoing nature of the conversation. So what you end up with is this totally one-sided, lopsided news story with a quick throwaway line at the end, and the cop's point of view never really gets heard. And this is balanced journalism in the eyes of many people who do local TV news around the country. And people have seen it. They're witness to it. I mean, all the recent polling points to the fact that public trust in local TV news is at historic lows, whether it's the Pew Research Center or Gallup. They've all done those studies. And so the furor that was coming from the police department was building, and it was gradual, and then it started to really take off, and I expressed some doubts to my producers and my anchors that perhaps we shouldn't run this sound, and they looked at it, and they came back and says, well, it depends on how you write it. So they put it all back on me, and I went back into the editing bay, and I was looking at what was going on, and a seasoned photographer, a guy I've worked with for years, who has never been wrong, looked at me and he says, you better get this cleared by station management. So I insisted before I go any further that we call the assistant news director, and he said, you air that sound. It's exclusive sounds. We got it. Nobody else has, and you do it. And as long as you treat it the right way, it's going to be fine. I said, okay. I wrote the story. I focused on the anti-cop mentality that exists in, I'm in some of the most dangerous cities in America on a regular basis and have been for the last 10 years. I mean, whether it's Jersey City, Newark, Patterson, yep. The week before, I did a story on a 12-year-old girl who got shot in the head. I spoke with her parents at the hospital. They were so grief-stricken, they had to be literally physically held up by relatives. I mean, when you look at the wreckage that this stuff caused, and I've been watching it for 10 years, and I went out on the air, and I went a little rogue. You know, I went off the reservation, I made a couple of remarks, and I didn't really say anything that just about everybody knows to be true, from the president to Bill Cosby to, Colonel Allen West. I spoke with D.L. Hughley about it last night. I mean, everybody knows that this is the case. Is it my opinion? I don't know if it's my opinion. If everybody agrees that it's pretty much the truth, I mean, would it have been any different if I went on the air and said the sky is blue? I mean, it's really to that point. I think what really got people in the news media annoyed, and virtually all of the criticism that I've received has been from my former colleagues in the news business who get hung up on the fact that I crossed the line journalistically. I don't think that's really the burning issue here. I really don't. And I told them, sometimes you got to break the rules to do the right thing. So that's what I did. And as soon as I aired it, station management went ballistic. They pulled it off the air. I called them back and said, you can't just let this thing hang like this. I said, every cop in the state of New Jersey is watching this. And I think a lot of cops around the country are watching this because the phone calls had built to a crescendo by 9 o'clock, 9:30. And it was like one continuous ring. I hadn't heard the phones like that since the immediate aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. And that's when I tried to impress on this guy that this was big. And if I didn't go out at the end of my story and at least provide some type of context, some type of balance, somebody who could speak for the dead cop, I said it's quite likely we're going to be looking at thousands, if not tens of thousands, of Cablevision subscription cancellations. So I did what I did. I said what I said. I knew I was going to take some heat, but if I had to do it over again, I would change nothing.
I'll tell you what, you and Mr. Cumia, it's interesting to see, and in fact refreshing to see, people stand by their actions in a moment of great upheaval and stress and pressure. And just to perhaps recap what you've just shared with us, Mr. Bergen, is that you were doing a television news report on an incident involving a black male that had, and these we're going to stick with the facts on this, but it was a black male who had killed a police officer in the line of duty. You interviewed this man's wife, and she said that as far as she was concerned, the killer, or alleged killer perhaps, didn't go far enough. And in the heat of the moment during your report, and I'll quote what you said according to Glenn Beck's report on the matter, you can't fix the problem if you don't talk about the problem. The truth is 73% of African-American children grow up without fathers. It's a topic that needs to be handled delicately, and really the situation could have been used as a way to explore that. Let's take a break, and we'll talk more about it right after this.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. James Edwards here along with our correspondent, Peter Scoop Stanton, who has done a great service for our audience this evening in booking the man of the hour, as far as I'm concerned. Truth teller Sean Bergen, who, you know, George Orwell once prophesied that the day would come when telling the truth would be considered a revolutionary act. And it certainly takes a lot of courage, and it's sad, but it does take courage now to say something publicly that is such an obvious truth. And as I was trying to quickly recap before the break, you had this incident up in the New Jersey area in which a black male had killed a police officer. In his reporting of this story, our guest mentioned that there is a problem in the black community, in which 73% of black children are born into families without fathers. And that's something that we need to delicately discuss and consider. Obviously, that's very true. As you mentioned, everyone agrees with that, and Bill Cosby among them. But unfortunately, for having told the truth, Mr. Bergen, you were basically demoted, I guess you would say, by your organization to the point where you had to quit. They had demoted you to, I believe it was about $300 a week, would have been your new salary at that point as a contracted employee. So you're moving on, and hopefully your next landing spot will be a bigger and better position. I'd like to ask you, before I turn it back over to Scoop Stanton, what media attention have you received as a result of your stand here? I know it's been quite extensive.
Well, you know, it's very telling what media I have drawn the attention of, because the only network broadcast that really reached out to me was Fox. And they seem to be the only newscast that has the courage to tackle this issue, because you've heard them talking about them. CNN reached out to me. They put one phone call in. When I told them I was booked on Fox that night, I never heard from them again. And I didn't really hear from anybody else. I did speak with the New York Times. I spoke with the Associated Press. But I'll tell you right now, the guy who broke this was a young reporter from The Blaze. And I've been doing a bunch of radio. But this attention that I've gotten, it cuts across ideological lines. It cuts across racial lines. I've been hearing from whites. I've been hearing from a lot of black people. Dr. Ben Carson backed me up. Colonel Allen West backed me up. D.L. Hughley, David Webb. So these guys are, they're all African-American men. Some of them, they run the spectrum, I think, of political beliefs. And I think it's pretty well recognized by any clear-thinking adult looking at this situation what an epidemic this has been. And I think where I really ran into trouble was the fact that I called out the news media on it. I said no one in the news media has the courage to touch this subject. Well, as I've learned, there are actually some people in the media who have the courage to touch the subject, and it looks like your radio station is one of them.
Well, thank you for saying that. Scoop, go ahead.
All right, James. Go ahead, James.
No, it's all you, my friend.
All right, thank you, James. Folks, this is Scoop Stanton. I'm taking over Mr. Edwards due to a technical difficulty. I got to put more dimes in the telephone. But, Sean, what was the response from the law enforcement community when you came out with the report of the issues of the inner city and the fatherlessness?
It was beyond overwhelming. It was mind-blowing. You have to understand that leading up to the report, the idea that we were going to air sound bites from the killer's wife was circulating on law enforcement websites and blogs. So just before I went to air, the calls had gone from the state of New Jersey to New York City, the NYPD, out to Long Island. I was getting calls from Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. So I knew that there were a lot of people out there who were watching this broadcast. And as soon as I said what I said, the station management pulled those last remarks. The fact that I said it was worth noting that we point out that we have been besieged and flooded by phone calls from police officers furious that we would give media coverage to the life of a cop killer like this. It's understandable. We did struggle with it, but we decided to air it because we felt it important to shine a light on this anti-cop mentality that has so contaminated America's inner cities. I said it is on display. The same sick, perverse pathology is on display from Jersey City to Newark, from Patterson, and on to Trenton. And this is where I really got into trouble. I said, all of this, of course, is caused by young black men growing up with fathers. And then the nail in the coffin was when I said, and nobody, unfortunately, nobody in the news media has the courage to touch this subject. And when you call out liberals in the news media like that, boy, they don't like that at all. And the problem is that they're so, I think, kind of almost divorced from reality that all they can seize on was the fact that in their view, I was less than objective. And I'm looking at these guys going, objectivity? I mean, are you kidding me? I've watched you in action for the last 7 years. I know how unobjective you are. There's a glaring double standard in your political coverage. I mean, put some really questionable things with sources and trial attorneys over the years that, you know, really raised a lot of eyebrows in within the news organization. But, you know, these guys are of the mind that they have a lock on the truth. They actually wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and think that they're looking at objective journalists. And if you run afoul of them, that's what they're going to try and nail you on. And that's really what they said. They said, it's company policy. You broke company policy. You crossed the line. You're not allowed to do that. We're going to suspend you. And then afterwards, they said, basically, you can do one day a week. I had a very popular weekly segment with them called Road Trip that received a pretty good sponsorship from a local bank. So all they wanted was for me to do that because it continues to generate revenue for the station. They didn't care about me or anything else. They said I wasn't allowed to do hard news. And I couldn't work at any other News 12 station except News 12 Long Island. So basically, they gave me an offer that I had to refuse. I had no choice.
Right. Now, you mentioned that the 4th District in Jersey City is one of the most dangerous in the entire state. Do you think any your former superiors or peers in the liberal media live within the 4th District of Jersey City?
Well, not unless they're really poor and black. I know friends who live in Jersey City, but I don't know many who would live in the 3rd District voluntarily.
Right. The reason I mentioned this is that your colleagues in the media always talk about diversity and reaching out and inclusion and this, that, and the other thing, but then as soon as the cameras turn off, Frank, get the hell out of town.
Yeah, they tend not to live in those neighborhoods. You know, they tend to, and a lot of the decision makers, most importantly, are never in those neighborhoods. They don't really get to hear it. They don't get to see the wreckage of, look, here's the big problem with the news media here, is that once you've established that fatherlessness is a very big problem, it's an epidemic, and it is really the source of many, if not most, of the social ills faced by the African-American community, then the very next question you have to ask is, why is that? How did we get here? And when you look at the statistics and the timeline, in 1965, the illegitimacy rate amongst African-Americans was about 22%, okay? In modern-day America, according to the last census, it's now at 73%. Well, what the heck happened in between then and now for it to increase by 51 percentage points? You know, there's a lot of liberals out there who would like to point to slavery as being the source. But are you telling me that this is like a 150-year delayed reaction to that? No. It's liberal social welfare schemes that have incentivized the practice of single motherhood. If you're a single mother who wants to stay at home and raise her kids, you can go on welfare and food stamps and Section 8 and all the other stuff and probably have the equivalent of around $60,000, $65,000 a year. That's more money than I make. When you set up those kind of conditions, you incentivize single motherhood. You replace husbands and fathers with government checks. And as we've seen with these people, the more government intervention you have in their lives, the worse their lives are. And these liberals, they never, ever get out of their offices or their nice homes and wander down to these places that are called housing projects. We used to call them housing projects. In the news media, you can't call them housing projects anymore. When you say housing project, people know exactly what you're talking about. Well, there's like cesspools, human cesspools full of just the worst kind of activity, human activity imaginable. That's what goes on there. I've never heard of anybody coming out of a housing project and, you know, finding a cure for cancer or a new energy source. And I'm always down there in these housing projects and the periphery, the areas around them, for the same reason. Young black and Hispanic men slaughtering one another in the street. So once we start to, you know, shine a light on this subject, it basically dismantles the whole liberal mythology, which is what these journalists, or so-called journalists, are committed to defending and upholding. That's why we have the president we have.
Well, Mr. Bergen, we are coming up now on our break. I want to thank you so much again for spending 30 minutes of your Saturday evening with us live on the radio, and thank you for telling the truth, and more importantly than telling the truth, for sticking to it, even when it became an inconvenience to you. And I pray that the good Lord will see that you land on your feet at an even better position, and that this the publicity that has come from the courageous action that you have done will benefit you in the long run. If there's anything we can do to help, please feel free to reach out. It's certainly been an honor to have you this evening.
And it's been an honor to be on the air with you, and the good Lord has already blessed me, sir. I can tell you that right now. I get to go through my life with my head held high, knowing myself, that I was a stand-up guy, and that's good enough for me.
Well, we applaud you. We applaud you, and we will be looking forward to more great things from Sean Bergen, and thank you again, sir. Well, folks, there he goes. And again, Scoop, I got to give you the last 30 seconds here to commend you. You have really, I tell you what, there is no reporter, apparently, that Scoop can't land. Charlie LaDuff and now Sean Bergen, who is in the media of a media firestorm, in the middle of a media firestorm right now. Good work, buddy.
No problem. I nominate Bergen for a New York correspondent.
You got it. Yeah, he's looking for work now. But hopefully not for long. Thank you, Scoop, for your contribution to tonight's show. You have hit it out of the park, and I'll talk to you off the air.
All right,
we'll be back for the second hour right after this.
News Radio Network.